You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
To Truth Without Radio. Today's date is the 24th of June 2016 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and today is Independence Day, and I'm also joined by Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. How are you doing on this glorious, wonderful day, Dennis?
It certainly is. I mean, when I see Cameron and the Bilderberg and Osborne squirming like the rat they are, then it's a wonderful time.
It's fantastic, isn't it? And personally, I think that Osborne is going to be the next one to go. I think they've just, they're not releasing it yet. I don't think any of us are going to miss it. I think Jeremy Corbyn is probably going to go next week, and I think George Osborne is going to go in the next couple of days. It's just an absolutely fantastic result. Amazing number of people actually voted. You know, this is the biggest turnout for a vote that they've had for years. 17 million people actually voted to leave. 72% of the electorate that were eligible to vote went out and voted. Just absolutely amazing. And some of the places that were the highest amount of people voting to actually leave the EU were in some of the areas that they thought they had really strong support for the Labour Party. So this is a real, yeah. This is a real shock to those in Labour, and it's a real shock to the Conservative Party, and it's just overwhelming support for nationalism and nationalist feeling. Just absolutely amazing. Last night, when I went to bed, I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out. I saw the first results from Gibraltar. I thought, oh no, look at those traitors. I mean, that is to be expected. I mean, they aren't actually living in Britain. They're all over there in Gibraltar on their British pensions, enjoying their cheap beer from Spain. And they don't really care about the people in Britain, because it was less than 100 people actually voted to leave the EU. So I thought, well, this doesn't look good. What's the next one going to be? The next one was, Newcastle on Tyne. And again, they voted to leave. And I thought, oh, this is a bit worrying. And then they had Sunderland, and they looked really shocked in the news studio. And they said, Sunderland, we were expecting to be massively in support of staying in the EU, and yet it wasn't. It was about 20 points lower than they thought for staying in the EU. So yeah. they looked surprised, and I thought, oh, yeah, so their polls have got it wrong on this first result. So it could go either way. I just thought, well, I'm going to go to bed and see what it turns out like in the morning. And when I got up, I was just amazed. I just sort of like let out a bit of a whoop of delight and a hurrah, and I would have done a little dance around the room if I could have done.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Amazing. Well, how was it for you?
Well, I didn't actually follow it last night, but I saw Cameron about a day or so ago practically begging and saying, please think of your kids and your grandchildren and the future. And I thought, this guy's struggling because he's never cared about any kids, anybody's grandchildren, him. You know what I mean? He's just, he's desperate. So I watched a bit of news last night. I was working on my soundtrack for my credits for the new documentary, but I just tuned in. And at one point, I think it was neck and neck. This was late on, early in the morning. It was neck and neck. So I left it. Because last time, I've stopped up before on election night, it never runs smoothly. And like you said this morning, shouted to wife, are we in or out? And to great delight, I heard the word out.
Incredible. And yeah. I do believe you owe me a fiver, Dennis. Is that right?
You've, You tight bastard.
I do believe this was mentioned a while back, and
Down and pinned it to wall because I'd forgotten about it.
No, I do believe I said, well, I'm not a gambling man, but if I was, I would place a bet that the referendum would go ahead. But I must say, I am surprised that that we won. It was a surprise, really, that Cameron actually did the referendum and allowed it to go ahead.
I've got a theory. This cabal and, whatever you want to call them, they have two means of governing. One is democracy, which, and then they've got communism. Now, the thing with communism is you can't get caught out with the vote because you can't vote. But with democracy, it's behind the curtain, kind of shadow government. Every now and again, they get caught out. But they're that confident that they've got millions to spend on the media. I mean, I think the government even spent some of my tax money to put some leaflets out, paid by taxpayers.
They did.
Which is, so they've got so much money to hammer this propaganda home that, they're quite confident. Now, they slipped up in Syria, for Syria, with the MPs voting. They were under pressure from the constituents. But this time, they really got it wrong. They really got it wrong because when you're bringing in Blair and Merkel and Obama, to tell us what to do, it's not the greatest idea, is it?
Well, this is just it. I mean, I am surprised because the people that were leading the Let's Get Out of the EU movement were people like Boris Johnson and Michael Gove. I mean, they are high up in the Tory party. They're not particularly well liked. And Nigel Farage isn't particularly well liked. There's a large portion of the electorate that just see these people as snooty. They just see them as toffs. So
yeah, well, they are in a way because I mean, like he went to the same college as Cameron did. Boris Johnson, he's Rothschild's educated, but he sees the problem with Europe and England disappearing in front of his eyes, I think.
Well, I think people saw through them. People saw through the fact that this wasn't about party politics. It was about, what our descendants are going to have to live through, what the next generations are going to have to live through. It was all about immigration. Everyone that they've tried to interview today that voted to leave has said immigration. Some of them have just shouted immigration and then turned their backs on the BBC and walked away. No, just disgusted at the way that the BBC has treated the British people. I mean, they've been saying that we're all racist, all the people that want to leave are racists. Well, that's over half of the population. And when you look at the actual voting patterns, pretty much the whole of England and Wales voted to leave. London voted to remain, and a couple of the other areas that have been heavily colonised, they voted to remain. But you've got to remember that they are less, 40% white, that's all. And the rest of them are all non-white. But the Scots, that's just embarrassing, really. I don't know what's up with the Scots.
Well, a lot of communists went over to fight for, communism in Spain all them years ago, so it didn't really surprise me. I think there were 500 of them from Glasgow went as a unit. In Scotland, it's a funny place, But even Wales, like I said, but at the end of the day, you've got a certain element in Britain. I don't think ever felt a part of Europe. I mean, because we never really had the euro, and they never abided by the laws of Europe, certainly with cigarettes and, etc. I mean, God knows how many cigarettes I've had taken off of me at the customs. So at the end of the day, it's like most people, I think deep down, don't want to be part of Europe anyway. The island's never been associated with that continental side. And it came on to bite last night.
Well, you bring up Wales there. I must say, I am so proud to be associated with Wales. I think their decision to vote to move from the EU, I think that is the most selfless gesture of the lot, because Wales has received so much money from the European Union. They've really tried to bribe Wales, and yet the Welsh people pretty much massively voted to leave the EU. About three quarters of the country, in actual fact, when you look at the actual size of it. And some of the places that have received the most money from the EU said, no, we're not having it. We're not having it. So they really were thinking about their descendants. And it does show, you know, that the Welsh people are on a similar mindset to the English people. They don't want their country to be colonized by foreigners. They can see what London is like. And I think they don't want that for their own cities. I think Cardiff may have voted to stay, but Swansea voted against it. In fact, as I say, most of Wales voted to actually leave. So that was just really shows you how patriotic they are. They've also got seven members on UKIP members on the Welsh government. Seven members of UKIP.
Not to mention it because I heard somebody did do. But he's talking about Cardiff. It's a big student contingent there, and they let me, you know, the 18-year-olds up to 24, 25, like, were voted to stay in. But what do they know? You know what I'm trying to say? I heard some talking tonight on TV, and they're a bit gutted, but, you know, they don't know what abyss we were all facing. And it was an abyss, trust me.
Well, one of the things they've been saying is the areas that did vote to remain in the EU, they were diverse areas. You know, they were quite open about it, saying that these areas voted to stay in the EU. Basically, they had a lot less white people.
Well, that's understandable, isn't it? Yeah, but
their code word, diversity. I mean, we know that means no white people.
The whiteness. Yeah.
They're still quite happy to use that. It just shows you how patriotic the people are in Britain still. You think that so many people voted for this. So it's basically, it's a vote for sovereignty, which is nationalism. You know, it's an ethnicity governing itself, making up its own laws.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. The thing is that it's crazy to give up your sovereignty. I mean, that's, you're giving up all decisions, absolute power. And no matter what Cameron says, you know, he's trying to convince people that Turkey's not going to come in. There's 80 million Muslims from Turkey in negotiations now with Merkel and co. So he's lying through his back teeth there. So there's so many negatives of this that the old world people of Britain have decided, I don't care about Europe. We've got, you know, why just deal with Europe anyway? There's a whole wide world out there. And when Obama comes over and then threatens us, you know, by saying we're going to the back of the queue, and thankfully Donald Trump realizes the value of what we've been to America over the year, whether or not I agree with it or not. The fact is, you know, that Donald Trump spoke glowingly of still welcoming us. But I've got to be honest, you know, I look at Obama, and Muhammad Ali used to talk, and Malcolm X used to talk once over, that there used to be field niggers and there used to be house niggers, as they called them. These are their words, not mine. And Obama is the whitest, he's whiter than most white men, and he lives in the White House. So, you know, how he got that job, he must have done some crawling. He must have done.
Well, personally, I think they gave him that job just to rub the white Americans' noses in it. To say, look, to the people that actually know what's going on and know about race, it's saying to them, look, we're the ones in charge and we are so powerful, we can even put a low IQ Negro as your president. We can even do that. It's like a show of power, like a show of strength. And to the ones that don't actually know what's going on, they think, oh, isn't it wonderful? We're so tolerant, you know. We've got a Congoid sitting in the president's seat in the White House. So I think that was a show of strength. But the next thing that was to happen today was David Cameron resigning. Now this is something that I said would happen if everyone voted to actually leave, that he would have to resign. Because how could he then go and negotiate the exiting of the EU if he'd been campaigning to stay within the EU? You know, you'd be worried that he'd sabotage it because he would still want to be proved right. And also, in listening to the reports on it today, they were saying that Ted Heath took us in to the EU. Yeah. And obviously, Ted Heath was pro-EU. That's why he took us into it. So if they were to say David Cameron took us out of the EU, he would have gone down in history as somebody that rescued us from the EU, that wanted us to leave the EU, which he didn't.
Yeah. No,
he was counting on us staying. He would never have had that referendum if he thought it was going to go any other way, was he?
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, my thoughts on this, I mean, I got asked this question a while back, you know, said, what do you think of, you know, the referendum? And my reply, and I still stick by this, is that I said, I just think it's a scam. I don't think we're coming out. And like I said earlier on, tonight, they didn't believe they were coming out. You know, they thought that they had the media behind them. They even played on the death of the MP. You know, they'll do anything for this, you know, to be pulled off. I mean, in the Scottish vote, there's a, you know, YouTube videos of them actually cheating and piling, you know, no's into yes boxes. So at the end of the day, you know, I was, it must have been, I don't know what the percentage was. Like last night when I was up, it was like, you know, 51-48 against 49 against. But I felt that there was, I watched a video of, I think it's a BNP, and they went around, in this, shopping centre. And I'm not kidding you, every single one, they were just saying it. They were saying it with passion. So I believe whatever margin they came up with, it was probably bigger anyway.
Well, it was 52% to 48%.
There you go.
And the deciding votes were 1 million. So there was a 1 million difference between the two. Yeah. But there must have been, you know, there must have been voter fraud. There must have been plenty of chances for it. So the actual majority
couldn't do enough.
they were unable to do enough because it was an overwhelming landslide of votes saying that we wanted to leave the EU. One thing that has surprised me is that very few other politicians have congratulated Britain for what we've done. None of them have sort of said, well, congratulations, Britain, apart from Donald Trump. That was the first thing he said.
Well, world leaders know under Rothschild's influence, aren't they? I mean, Putin never said anything, which is fine. He didn't want to interfere. And Trump's obviously made his opinion clear because of Obama. He was forced into that situation, if you like. So for the rest of them, they're all Rothschild's agents, aren't they?
Well, this is just it. I mean, I've got Trump has actually made a press release. This is his statement regarding the British referendum on European Union membership. This is a quote. The people of the United Kingdom have exercised the sacred right of all free peoples. They have declared their independence from the European Union and have voted to reassert control over their own politics, borders and economy. A Trump administration pledges to strengthen our ties with a free and independent Britain, deepening our bonds in commerce, culture and mutual defence. The whole world is more peaceful and stable when our two countries and our two peoples are united together, as they will be under a Trump administration. I think that's excellent.
That's wonderful. I mean, I'll tell you what it's shown lately. I mean, you know, in this country especially, when I watch Good Morning TV or you know, the news programmes, the hatred of Donald Trump, you know, they just cannot get their heads around this guy could possibly be president. Although we did see somebody during the week getting pulled away for plotting to assassinate him, and that's not a surprise, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, God, what a nightmare that is, Mrs. Clinton. My God.
It's very hard for them to actually hide their hatred of him. And he flew in to Scotland today. So really good timing. Flew into Scotland, and all the lefties had planted all these Mexican flags in Scotland. I just don't understand this. I mean, what is this? Do they want America to be invaded by Mexico?
Do they see America as
being part of Mexico now? I mean, what is this? I mean, what has Mexico got to do with Britain? What Mexicans have we got over here that are going to be planting their flags up there to greet Donald Trump? It's disgusting.
Yeah. It's insulting, I totally agree. I mean, this is he's done nothing to Britain whatsoever, and yet they were going to ban him at once, or, you know.
Well, what David Cameron has said as well. I mean, he's insulted Trump. He's called him stupid and all these other things. Donald Trump is obviously not stupid. You have to wonder what David Cameron is to take this big gamble like this that people are going to back him when they don't. So Cameron has said that he's going to resign. He's going to be gone by October, which is, 3 months away. And by the time of the Conservative Party conference, they're going to have elected a new leader. Now, some people have thought, well, that means we're going to have a vote. But there was a precedent set by Gordon Brown with the Labour Party. And when Tony Blair stepped down, they just put Gordon Brown in his place, basically. So the Conservative Party are going to be electing the new Prime Minister. And this Prime Minister will have to have been a part of the the Leave people. Yeah. It has to be somebody that advocated to leave the EU. So that gives you a bit of a limit on who it's going to be, either Boris Johnson or Michael Gove. If Boris Johnson is Turkish. I really would not like to see Boris Johnson there. Michael Gove, I think, might be better, but he might be too intellectual for the job. But I was thinking today that there's another possible chance. Now that we've come out of the European Union, there's no actual reason for UKIP to carry on, is there? You know, they've got their independence.
Interesting point, yeah.
So Nigel Farage could become a member of the Conservative Party, and Nigel Farage could actually become Prime Minister.
Well, he's dedicated his life towards it, hasn't he? So I suppose it's he must be feeling wonderful this morning. I actually saw a YouTube video of him the other day, actually denouncing this is a while back as well, but he was denouncing the EU as communist. So,
Dennis well, he seems to be getting better. He seems to be getting better. But as you say, he's dedicated his whole life to coming out of the EU. It was his campaigning that got Cameron to agree to the referendum in the first place. By getting all the people together and getting people to vote for him and his MEPs. So, I mean, he could be a likely candidate. I don't know whether the bookies have said anything about it or what other people think, but just the fact that we won this referendum, I mean, that was as unlikely enough. We seem to be having all these unlikely things happen this year, especially. So, you know, we could possibly see Nigel Farage as Prime Minister. And he would make a very good one, I think.
Well, the thing is, UKIP, as far as I'm aware, we're backed by one of the elites, what fell out with the Rothschilds. What was that party called in the 70s, where it was just an EU party? But they funded that one anyway. I can't remember. You probably know it if I said it. But anyway, but he had to leave the country eventually, this guy. And his son funded UKIP. Because they didn't like the idea of communism at all. So they must be very pleased, absolutely pleased.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, UKIP aren't a properly ethnic nationalist party, but they are closer to ethnic nationalism than any of the others.
Yeah, for sure.
And the other interesting things that seem to be happening is there's been a motion of no confidence that's been handed to Jeremy Corbyn. Which basically means that his party have said they've got no confidence in him and they want to have a vote to see whether they should sack him, basically.
Yeah, so, I've heard that. I don't understand why he should step down. Not that it bothers me if he did or not, but what I'm saying is because he came in on a vote which was overwhelming. It was, again, all the publicity were to try and get the running Blair right in at the time. But no doubt they'll be trying to get him out this way. But like I said, at the end of the day, he did want to stay in. He's a member of the Fabian Society, so it shouldn't be a surprise. But at the end of the day, Cameron's the one who should really carry the bucket with his mate Osborne, because them two prats have done my head in for a number of years now. They're not even proper Tories. They're Trotskyites. They're neocons.
Well, yeah, the Liberals. I mean, in Cameron's speech, he made a point of saying, you know, that he'd brought in gay marriage and he was proud of his anti-conservative policies that he'd actually made. But back to Jeremy Corbyn a minute. I mean, the reason why they're saying they have no confidence in him is because he basically wasn't able to galvanise the Labour support. But the reason why he wasn't able to galvanise Labour support is because he refused to listen to his Labour voters. His Labour voters, you know, 99% of them were screaming, stop the immigration, stop the immigration. And what does Jeremy Corbyn do? He says there should be no upper limits on immigration. And even today, they've been saying, why do you think Labour are losing this support in these areas? Why did Labour lose support in their heartlands? And he said, well, it's because the government have failed to invest in new hospitals and new schools to cope with the newcomers. And because they haven't invested enough to get the better pay for these newcomers. And no, that's not the reason at all. The people in those areas don't want the newcomers at all, Jeremy. That's what it is. And yet he refuses to admit that.
I think one message what comes out loud and clear out of this referendum is that nobody trusts British politicians anymore, do they?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think that's a big part of it as well.
I think
people don't trust the people taking the polls anymore either. I think after the last election, when all the polls beforehand said that it was going to be a hung parliament, and then it came to the election and the Conservatives won by quite a considerable majority, and that was a real surprise. And the same thing has happened this time. The polls were saying that that the Remain group were going to win, and of course it's not. And it's quite a sizable majority, really, 4 or 5%. On the other side, showing to leave. So maybe people are deliberately telling the people that run these polls that, the opposite thing, just to throw them off.
Well, I just think that, you can't trust the poll. I've never met pollers yet, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, when Sky come on and say 68% say this and only 38% say whatever, do we really know? You know what I mean? It's the easiest thing in the world to manipulate a mass audience, which TV has. And so at the end of the day, for once, people have just gone with their own decision. I mean, somebody said after that death of the MP that there was asked, would the change, has it affected how they're going to vote? Because, they made a big play on her wanting to stay in and said that she was killed for that reason, even though there was no real proof. And even her husband came out last Friday and said, it has something to do with that, which was kind of it looked dodgy anyway. But what I'm trying to say is they all turned around and said, it's not going to make the slightest difference. And it didn't, and it shouldn't, because, even Syrian babies on beaches shouldn't make, change your mind. Because at the end of the day, what you've got is an invasion of Europe. And if it weren't for Merkel saying, come on down and join in, they wouldn't have been on that boat to start with. It turned out it was hoax anyway.
Well, this has been a large part of the lies that we've been told. And they've been saying, coming out of the EU won't stop the non-white immigration. Half of all the invaders have been non-white. And the EU, it's nothing to do with the EU. It's nothing to do with the EU. Well, what about Merkel then? And the million Muslims that she's got in Germany, that she's expecting every other country in Europe to take quotas of. Quotas of invaders. Well, see after this what's going to happen is you're going to have France are already calling for a referendum, Sweden are already calling for a referendum. You're going to end up with all these other countries saying, look, we want out of the EU, and Merkel's going to be left with millions of Muslims that she's invited in.
Yeah.
And no other country is going to take any of them. And why should they?
I've got to be honest, right? One amusing bit of news here the other day was in Poland. because of this, some kind of agreement, they had to accept, a 1,000 Syrians, which they did, it's fair enough, we don't particularly want them, the country don't want them. In fact, I saw another YouTube video of 150,000 Polish people marching across the bridge, and the actual video, the flares and everything, going off and flags and things. And the actual video lasted 52 minutes. Just a constant sea of people protesting against immigration. Anyway, so they've took these 1,000 Syrian people in, and no doubt they're all aged 21 to 18 and, no qualifications. But they only get paid 80 euros a month. So when push comes to shove, they all moved on to Germany.
They would. They don't want to be in these poorer countries. They all want to be in the north where the money is.
That's too much charity for them, isn't it?
Well, they're certainly not coming to Britain. But you mentioned there YouTube, and I think YouTube played a large part in this, because what was on the BBC, ITV, Sky, all these other channels, none of them were really speaking about the real problem, which is the white genocide and the replacement of the white ethnicity and the British ethnicities. None of them were actually speaking about that, but YouTube was full of it. And there were people.
I never saw one migrant in that campaign. Not one.
Yeah, well, they kept them out of the way. I mean, we'll go on to Sadiq Khan in a minute, the Pakistani mayor. But some of the talk shows I was watching on the TV, and people were mentioning the YouTube videos, Brexit the movie, and these videos on there. So they were getting some exposure. But to talk about Sadiq Khan, I mean, London basically voted to stay within the EU. the opposite of what the rest of the country actually voted for. And what he did straight away, he started sending out tweets welcoming the invaders and encouraging more of them to come and saying, London's still welcoming the invaders, sod the rest of England, you know, I'm in charge here. So, you know, he's saying the opposite of what the rest of the country is. You know, this power has gone to his head. He's gone power mad.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him briefly on Question Time, and I just talk garbage, doesn't he? Like, he just talk like a...
He can't talk. He can't talk English, Dennis.
No, can he?
He can't even read his auto cue correctly. He's dreadful. Oh, well,
yeah, I mean, that is Baghdad, isn't it, down London there? It's simply Baghdad. I mean, they have the same problem in Sicily, where the mafia were. And their downtown centre's like Baghdad, and there's been shootings now because the mafia's got fed up with it as well. So,
well, the other thing is Sadiq Khan has done, he's forming an alliance with Sturgeon up in Scotland. So, the multicultural alliance.
Well, they're nationalists. Why do they want to leave?
Scottish nationalists.
How crazy is that?
Sorry, it's just such a joke. Scottish nationalists.
Well, yeah,
Scottish nationalist party. Not Scottish nationalists, real Scottish nationalists. I know there are some, there are a few, and they're really good, genuine, you know, hardcore nationalists. But to call that party that's in power in Scotland the Scottish Nationalist Party is just offensive. Really offensive.
Well, if they were nationalists, they wouldn't want to stay in EU, would they? They would want to make their own decisions, but obviously that's not their outcome. Well, you have to now, right?
They want more immigration. This is the thing. They want more immigration in Scotland. They're not happy. They don't think they've had enough. They say, you know, they could take 10 times as many people as they already have. They've got, I think their foreign minister is Pakistani anyway. I forget his name for now.
I'll say something. You know, a couple of years ago, like I was up in Scotland, and one of the biggest shocks I ever had, and it's literally heart attack time. It's weird. Here in Asia, talk with a Scottish accent. Completely, I were all over the place. I were asking some directions. It's coming out in a Glasgow garble that I can't understand.
It's just offensive to see.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Offensive to see. But they've already started with the new way to frighten the electorate, saying that because of this vote, it's now going to split the United Kingdom. Because Scotland voted to stay a part of the EU and Northern Ireland voted to stay a part of the EU, they're saying, well, these countries are going to have a referendum and split from the rest of the UK. But that wasn't, it wasn't a separate nation's election. It was a referendum for the whole of Great Britain. So they were taking part as a part of the whole of Great Britain. So whether they're Scottish or Welsh or English doesn't really matter. It's the numbers. You know, this is a united thing. This is us saying, you know, English, Scots, Irish, Welsh, we're all part of the great British ethnicity, and we need to come together and make a decision on this. And for the good of the nation, the good of the island, we have to, you know, some of us are going to have to accept something that we don't think is right, purely because everybody else is saying that it is right, and we have to go along with it if we believe in democracy, as so many of their kingdom are saying. So the Scots are going to have to just suck it up, really.
I don't believe in democracy because I don't think 51 should rule 49. And it's easy to manipulate, especially with television today. So, you know, like I said, this is one of their means of governing. But obviously, they'll probably lead towards communism next time because you've got no chance of voting, which again, the EU proves that these people, they were elected to start with. But at the end of the day, these people have got to understand the momentous step that it took. I mean, you know, I don't believe for 1 minute Neil Armstrong were on the moon when he said it, but one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind was really happening yesterday because we were staring into that abyss. When when my father left Europe because of that communist purge, you know, and came over here, little did he know just exactly, you know, this was the birth of the whole thing. And so for Europe to start, you know, gay marriage, loads of immigrants, a godless society, it's pure communism what was coming. When the state thinks for you and you can't decide it on anything, then just unbelievable result, which a lot of people just won't realise. They just will not realise. There was inches from that abyss, inches.
Well, there's the free speech issue as well, as well as those issues that you just highlighted. And one of the things that I did hear was Michael Gove defending free speech and saying we cannot have these restrictions on speech that we see in other European countries. I was quite heartened to hear that because, you know, there'd been mentions of clamping down on free speech over here in Britain with the extremism bill, the non-violent extremists. So to hear one of the leading people in the campaign to leave the EU highlighting the fact that the EU wants to curb our free speech, because the main ones that the EU want to clamp down on, of course, is Holocaust revisionism and criticism of Jews and immigration.
Correct.
So if they're going to stop that, that's another positive point that people haven't really highlighted enough. In fact, I'd like to hear more from the people that are now going to be running the Conservative Party about what they're going to do to preserve free speech.
Mm. Well, that'd be interesting. Well, certainly, you know, that may still come, but it would definitely come with Cameron, because Cameron had warned on several occasions that, you know, being of Jewish descent himself, you know, he was always going to lean that way. You know, you just can't criticise Israel at this moment in time. You know, the Jews are strong. But, you know, the world goes round in cycles, and this, like I said, is a step in the right direction. Well, I mean, to be honest, you look at the... I go back to, you know, the border thing again, where, you know, the law was you could bring back as many cigarettes... You could bring back an old tank full of cigarettes, you know, as long as they were for your own use. And the government decided, no. And it was back to 200 again. Which is, you know, that can't be right when the EU rules say something else. But like I said, never felt part of it. It was more we were pushed into it or conned into it. And I'll tell you something else, I said, before I forget, right? It's the way they've done it, because when they first went into what was known then as the common market, we dumped on Australia and we dumped on New Zealand. You know, they had to go and find trade with somebody else. And so we went into the common market on this thing. Look, you know, it's the trade. And that's how they do it. But slowly and surely over the years, this EU now is a different EU to what we first got enticed into. And it's the sneaky way that they don't tell the full story. You know, there's nothing more blatant than communism when every country's given up the sovereignty and there's no borders and, you know, there's one currency and there's a central bank and there's a central government in Strasbourg. It's communism and it's coming, you know. For once, similar to Syria, because Assad's still standing, Syria's still there, you know, that particular vote in Parliament stopped that New World Order. Obama tried to get it, but didn't go any further on it. Putin stepped in, and rest is history. But Assad would have gone by now. You know he would have done. So that's another big blow to this New World Order.
So occasionally, democracy does work for the people, very occasionally. But, you know, as we were saying a few minutes ago, it does highlight the fact that it doesn't actually work for the people, and the people are divided.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, the odd time it has, though. But it's only the odd time, because I've lost... counted a number of elections which the biased papers, you know, Murdoch's got all the papers. I mean, I don't know what happened this time, but at one point, the Sun said pull out, which I kind of like raised my eyebrows at. And like I said I was telling somebody, I said, well, we'll be surprised if on the last day, you know, the chairman said, oh no, we've decided to stay in, because they've done that with foreign elections, you know what I mean? So that'd be interesting to find out what happened there. But yeah, you know, they thought that they could control us with their massive amounts of money and the media, biased media. Every single newscaster works for them, you can tell.
Well, it has been different this time because the media, the newspapers at least, have all been saying we should be moving out. I think apart from The Guardian, but the other ones have all been on the side of Brexit. They have been promoting Brexit, whereas the BBC have been claiming to be impartial. But of course, they haven't been, as we know. But, you know, I mean, a broken clock even tells the time twice a day.
Yeah.
And a broken democracy gets it right occasionally. And this is why we've actually got it right this time. But if we actually had just a white nation, I think we would be united. It would be unanimous. No, we don't want to give up our sovereignty. I think if you were to have given this vote to all the white people in Britain, I think you would have seen 90% voting to leave the EU, just because, you know, the idea of giving up your sovereignty to other people and other people making your laws, telling you who you can and cannot have in your own country, you know, that isn't going to benefit anyone. The only people that the EU benefits are the rich capitalists and the bankers and the third world. Yeah, and it also serves that ulterior purpose of the Jews to wipe out the white people, basically, by having them miscegenate with brown people. And the idea for the EU, as you were saying, this idea for the EU that started out as a trade agreement, well, before that, after the war, they were saying, well, we need this in order to bring about peace. But what it really is what was outlined in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's the one world government. And before that, you know, it was outlined in other pieces that Freemasons and secret societies were all concentrating on. All trying to bring about this new world order, and that is basically the EU was a large part of it.
Iceland led the way as well. I'm proud of Iceland, maybe, because nobody mentioned them at all when people were asking questions of what's going to happen, and they use this fear factor as well, like, you know, trying to tell people, oh, we don't know what's going to happen, we're not going to get trade with anybody, and I was going to carry on, just a scaremonger, you know, you're going to lose your jobs, etc. But I think people just looked at these politicians. I mean, maybe they looked at Iceland themselves, I don't know, because Iceland's, you know, gone from strength to strength. But at the end of the day, they just thought, well, you know, so be it, but I don't want my country full of immigrants. And that, like you said, was the central point to it all.
Oh, yeah, 80% of these housing estates, 80% of them turned out to vote, and that's unheard of. People on the housing estates, usually the least likely to vote, and yet 80% of them went out to vote, and that was their reason for voting. They don't want immigration. As I said earlier, they're interviewing people on the BBC and people just turning their backs on them. I mean, they went to one area and a third of the white people there have been replaced by foreigners, or a third of the British people all been replaced by foreigners. And now they're trying to say, oh, well, but the immigration is the brown people. It's the brown people, not the Europeans. And before they were saying, oh, it's the European immigration. It's the European immigration. There isn't really any brown immigration. Now, they keep trying to chop and change what it's all about. Yeah. But the people aren't having it. The people saw through it all and voted against them, regardless of all the propaganda. You know, regardless of it, this is a triumph for the British people. And it shows that, you know, it can be done. If you can force through a referendum and you work hard enough at it and you're based on the truth, then you're going to win.
They paced it as well, because early doors, Cameron was going into, you know, they were spending government money, my taxpayers' money, you know, my money, you know, on these leaflets and pamphlets and what have you. But it kind of started to run out of steam, and then, you know, suddenly, the immigration thing, which they've been trying to hide all through, but it was always going to come, came towards the end and probably was the overriding point. But, I mean, I noticed the other day there was on about places like Saudi Arabia, etc., who never took a single Arab. You know, all the migrants were pushed into Europe. And when asked, you know, are you not going to take any of these refugees, you know, they turned around and said, well, no, what we'll do, we'll build some mosques for them.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to accept any of them.
But I think
I think what this is going to do, is it's going to inspire the other countries in the EU to move out. That's what it's going to do. It's already started, we're already hearing rumblings of this. Marine Le Pen was on the news earlier saying, you know, we need to have a referendum. As I say, there was people in Sweden that are calling for the same. And now that Britain has pulled out, you know, it's going to be a real challenge, because they're going to try and punish us for doing this. They are going to try and punish us. But the British people knew that. We knew we were going to be punished, and yet we still did it. You know, we still had the courage to do
it. Right. It was the right thing to do. I mean, somebody said something like, well, we're going to have at least 2 or 3 years of a recession. So what? You know, once you come out of that recession, the world's your oyster. I don't believe
this is it.
We're telling the truth anyway, you know.
You know, there is going to be a little bit of pain, but, you know, they weren't trying to cover that up, saying that there isn't going to be any. You know, we knew that there would be a few problems with the economy, but, you know, we can get back on top again once we are responsible for, you know, making our own decisions. And last night they were saying that the pound has lost money. It's gone down to the lowest point it ever was before. But what they don't tell you is that there are people making money off of that. They knew that. They had these forecasts for that. So they're making money from that. This Mark Carney, the Canadian head of the Bank of England, he comes out this afternoon and says, well, we've got £250 billion put aside for that. We've got all this foreign currency. We've got all this liquid assets. So it's not going to be a problem. You know, some of the people on the stock market are going to lose money. But
well, we have to set them right, otherwise people do panic. But
it's totally a corrupt thing anyway.
Exactly.
And it's all made from interest, isn't it? And usury.
Exactly. And there's no money to start with. And what I mean by that is when you go for a mortgage and they say, there's your £120,000 or whatever for an house, you don't actually see the cash because there is no cash. But they'll charge interest on it for the next 25 years.
Well, they just create that, on the point.
For sure.
When you request your loan, that promissory note, that's the thing that's worth the money, is your signature. They monetize that.
But a contract should have two signatures, I'm sure.
Well,
there's only one sign for a mortgage.
Well, it's just one signature and they monetize that and then you have to pay that back. You know, that money didn't exist until you gave them that IOU note. That IOU note on the loan where you say, I will pay back this amount of money, that is exactly the same as your £5 note cash, which says, I promise to pay the bearer a certain amount. So that's all they're doing is publishing your promise. I don't think we're going to see major changes with the banking system.
Oh, no.
It's all got to be small steps, hasn't it?
It takes a while to move them out.
You know, people say, well, we've got to change the banking system. We've got to, get all the blacks out. Got to get all the Jews out. You know, all these things got to be done in small steps.
It's not a bad idea.
Well, it's all a good idea, but this is the first step. You know, everything's been moving further and further in our direction over the last couple of years. It's been picking up momentum. And, it's still picking up momentum. Oh. We've got more to come, don't forget, because we've got the American elections. Donald Trump for president.
For the Rothschilds, to be honest. I mean, I believe one's on the run in France somewhere. He's hiding out in Switzerland. The other one's just lost $330 million in a court case, first one we've ever lost. And now this, so I'm feeling wonderful.
So the Rothschilds are losing out as well.
Yeah.
Well, things definitely are moving in the right way.
Yeah, it feels good.
We need to have a complete change, I think, of the politicians that are there. We need a change in the Conservative Party, and we need a change in the Labour Party, and we need the people that are actually going to take the concerns of the British people to heart. And
we the concern
of the British people is immigration. It is immigration, and they're going to have to start speaking about it, these politicians, if they don't want the same thing to happen to them. If they don't want to themselves be kicked out, they're going to have to act on the British people and stop this immigration. They can't pretend, like Jeremy Corbyn has, that is not what the problem is. And the fact that London is the only place that voted to stay really shows you that. Really shows you the complete difference in vision and what they want for the country that there is between white people and brown people, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is, right, is that it's an obvious agenda, because what happens is when you go to another country, one, you don't go with a million others. You know, you go to that country, wherever it may be, and as in Rome, you do as Rome does. So, but when they're bringing over so many of a different culture and then making laws to allow them to change the whole culture, this is where it's all going satanic and crazy. Because, you know, obviously you go to London now and, you know, you're not going to be in the same London as you were 15 years ago. And that can't be right in a home country. Because if I went to Saudi Arabia and a piece of load of bread, I'm expecting my arm to be cut off.
Well, if you're doing a job, you go to another country and you do a job that you're employed to do, you're going to try and do the best for your employers, aren't you? But not if you're Sadiq Khan. Now, if you're Sadiq Khan and you're the mayor of London, you're going to start doing the opposite of what the rest of the country is doing. While the rest of the country is saying, you know, we've got to stop immigration, he is frantically tweeting, welcome, foreigners are all welcome in London. Do come to London. Mm. London is still open to all the foreigners of the world. Please come in.
You know,
doing
city.
The exact opposite.
One city in the northwest voted to stay in. Which one? Question for you.
I'm not sure. I can't recall. Which one was it, Dennis?
Liverpool.
So, oh, sorry, I should have guessed that. But Khan is as well, you know, he's saying, well, London is going to stay a part of the EU and it's going to be separate to the rest of England. This is another of his ideas that he's come up with.
Yeah, well, he'll get shot one day.
You know, we're being told, you know, that we're all British, doesn't matter where you come from. And yet, straight away, as soon as the British people actually want to do something different to Sadiq Khan, he's saying, no, we're going to do the opposite. Yeah, well, he's going to represent, he's seeing all the Londoners as totally different to the British people. I just hope that the non-nationalist British people see that and realise it and realise that that's what's coming to their cities once they become over 50% brown, which is why, obviously, why people have voted against this EU.
Well, it takes you back to World War II, like I demonstrated in this documentary. Even the victors of World War II, the soldiers, the sailors, and the airmen, and whatever, their descendants now are getting treated just the way a defeated Germany is being treated. So that means there is another level of power in these countries, which it has to be, so that this agenda can take place all over Europe and even in the countries which, in inverted commas, won the World War. Even America.
Well, you wouldn't think we won the war to look around us.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Being ruled by foreigners. I'm just so pleased, Dennis. I'm just so pleased and proud of Britain that the British people have made the right decision.
They put the pressure on the MPs because they had enough of Iraq and Libya. They saw through that. But this is, you know, another level again. They've spoke, and they spoke loudly. And when I see people like Owen Jones on YouTube crying into his beer, you know what I mean? Great.
Oh, the lefties have been—they've been real sore losers today. They really have. There's been this horrible Katie Bann, leftist comedian. I saw her today. She's just a beast with these milk bottles glued to her head. You know, just picking on these callers and you know, accusing them of being racist or accusing them of being thick. You know, horrible creature. You could see she's just so bitter and angry that...
stick them on an island in Shetland somewhere, you know, and they can go on themselves.
The people have voted the wrong way. We can't have it. They voted the wrong way. That's the way they look at it. They cannot understand that, you know, there's a plurality of opinion on things, and people actually have reasons for the way they think. You know, we don't just want to protect our country because we hate others. We want to protect our country because
we love ours. Exactly.
You know, I think
racism.
I don't think they really understand love and hate. I think they're just indifferent and materialist, to be honest. And they just mouth these words like love. They don't really know what it is. You know, unless you're prepared to die to defend something, then you don't really love them, do you? You're prepared to die to defend your family because you love them.
Exactly.
But this, you know, we love all the other races. We love everyone. But, you know, we'll defeat Islamic terrorism with love. They don't know what love is, do they?
Yeah, exactly.
Saw that with Orlando. That's what the Labour Party were saying. You know, we'll defeat, terrorism with love. You got this shooting of this Joe Cox. They're saying, it was hate that did this. It was hate.
I'm not sure. Do you know what it was? I mean, this thing about him saying Britain first, that hasn't been proven either, you know what I mean? So they just jumped on that bandwagon.
I think it was treason that caused that. I think it was her treason. I think that guy must have been watching the Houses of Parliament in the Commons, the question time, on the same day that I was watching when she gave her first speech. And she said that and this is just miles away from Rotherham, where 1,400 white girls were raped in the same county. And she stood up in the Houses of Parliament and said how much our constituencies have been enhanced by Pakistani immigration and how much we should celebrate immigration, specifically Pakistani and Bengali. So she was saying we should celebrate these people that came in here and raped 1,400 white girls just in one town. And that's in the same county. And it infuriated me seeing her say that. And I thought, how the hell can that woman stand there and say that? So somebody rather unbalanced, I think, saw that and did something about it. Because that is treason, worse than treason.
What gets me is once over, there was an MP who got blown up on the parking lot of the Houses of Parliament. Tory MP, and he was only in the news for one day, and yet she was in the news how long? You know, just to keep this momentum of trying to stop this train of the exit. I mean, you know, they said, oh, we can't, once we get back to, because they called the thing off for a couple of days, didn't they? And they said, once we start up again, we can't be using this rhetoric, we're going to be more friendly with each other. And it was just a means of trying to stop that train. But thankfully, the train didn't stop. And I'm not going to class myself as European, but I'm no longer European.
Well, I class myself as part of the European race. My European brothers, you know.
I'm
fascinated by the culture of my European brothers, the way they do things. And you know, my heart is really warmed when I see them doing and thinking the same way as me. And, you know,
I think of them as my brothers.
But yeah. They live in a different house to me. They live in a different area, in a different territory. You know, we have our territory here. But to go back to this Joe Cox killing. I mean, they really went overboard on that, trying to make out that everyone that wanted a Brexit was obviously,
was a potential
murderer or an assassin. I mean, they even had Bono from U2 writing a special song for her, birthday celebrations all over the world. You know, Obama phoning up. It's just incredible, this song and dance they made about it. And what happened when two members of Golden Dawn got shot in Greece? Yeah. What happened there? Yeah. Songs written about that, were there? Special phone calls from Obama? No, there was nothing. And the people that actually shot him were made out to be the good guys. I don't even know if they've even caught the killers of Golden Dawn. But there's nothing that was done about that. You contrast the two responses to two political sides of the spectrum, and you can see that there aren't two sides to the political spectrum, the political spectrum that we're being given. It's just all on one side, and nationalism is the answer to that. Nationalism is, you know, that's what the political spectrum should be. It should all just be based on ethnic nationalism and what is best for the nation.
I've said it a million times. That is the centre ground for any country to have somebody who is willing to stay that he loves and he wants to do his best for his country, and he's centre ground, not extreme. But what gets my every time is when overrated pop stars trying to be politicians like Bono.
Jeremy Corbyn had to cancel his Glastonbury visit today.
Oh, God.
Seriously, Jeremy Corbyn at Glastonbury Rock Festival. He was booked. What? To speak at Glastonbury Rock Festival. This just tells you how all this supposed counterculture, all the supposed alternatives are controlled. You know, they're part of the system. Why else would Jeremy Corbyn be speaking at what is supposed to be the alternative counterculture festival of the year? It's not.
Exactly.
You know, it's not. It's all
leftist.
Maybe
we're singing.
singing some hippie protest songs.
Maybe he needs a new career.
Yeah. Well, Dennis.
A duo.
Well, Dennis, we're
right.
Sad to say we're coming up to the end of the podcast.
The pressures are carrying on.
But we're going to keep celebrating. We'll keep celebrating on into the night. And we've got a bit of a special outro for you that I'm going to play in a minute. So thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for coming on again, Dennis. We'll be back next week. And Rule Britannia, I guess, is all I have to say.